Today, Canadian novelist Catherine Govier's postcard number 16 arrived in my inbox. She writes these postcards roughly every month or so, and they're basically a mini short story. This one is entitled Point Pelee, 7 a.m., 7th of May. We step off the tram and onto a path through budding trees. This is as close to heaven as you can get, a woman confides. If this is heaven, today must be the day of judgment. It's that crowded. We are a hushed phalanx with an arsenal of equipment. In front of me, two men wear camouflage jackets patterned to look like undergrowth, seen through a 10x magnifying lens. Their cameras have 4 zooms and droop from chest height to bang their knees. People hoist tripods with scopes over their shoulders. Even those of us with modest binoculars wear an avid look. We walk shoulder to shoulder in non-rustling waterproof pants. We rose before sunrise at B&Bs and campgrounds. Tim Hortons went into emergency mode at dawn. Leamington, Ontario, otherwise known as Canada's tomato capital, is in its annual 2-week boom. Portable billboards announce, "Sniff, you can smell spring," and "Welcome, birders." Migration days are the first 2 weeks of May. Birds from the south arrive in droves, hungry and tired from their journey across Lake Erie. Point Pelee protrudes like an icicle southward into the lake, making the tip first landfall for avian travelers. Overhead, it's a riot of wings and melodic calls. Down here on the beaches, a whispering homecoming for birds and birders alike. Michael Biro is our all-knowing leader. We march on. Right away, we see 2 giant wild turkeys sitting in the woods. Then a flock of red-breasted mergansers flies over. Feeding low on some vines are 3 orange Baltimore Orioles. Are a lot of birds named after sports teams? Puzzling. Caspian tern, wood thrush, red-bellied woodpecker, red-breasted nuthatch, crested grebe. There goes a hummingbird. I'm slow with the damn binoculars. Till today I've done my birding in libraries. Something dark and fuzzy crosses my vision. Help! I'm being attacked. Oh, it's an eyelash. No, it's the strap. You've got to be fast and get the details. There are Tennessee warblers and Nashville warblers. They're different. We spot a tufted titmouse, general elation, a Kirtland warbler. Very big deal. Actually, I miss it. There's something behind the log, near the crook, in the tangle on the branch. Last year there was a pronotatory warbler right there. One of the camouflage guys prostrates himself, lens first. I'm a newbie. I don't know from rare. These are birds that go to the north, to the Arctic. They're all amazing to me. We call Michael the bird whisperer. I said I wanted to see a sandhill crane. We drove down a couple of country roads, pulled over, and there one was, outstanding in the field. It's a quiet day, our leader says. Look, there's a blue-headed vireo. Some days they just fall from the sky. They do? Oh no, I picture feathered migrants dropping dead, but he doesn't mean fall. He means birds are more plentiful on certain days than others. There's no telling. Let's go to the marsh. Oh, blue-gray gnatcatcher. There, a great horned owl sits on a solitary post. A pair has thoughtfully built a nest in a hollow stump near the road. 2 adorable, fluffy white owlets peek over the edge. Cameras go wild. All day we stand and look, a clutch of earnest folk in tilly hats, binoculars trained on the near distance, is a cartoon cliché. Laugh no more, these folks are tough. Birding is the most exhausting non-exercise you'll ever have. So it's an early night, eating local pickerel with Point Pelee wine at Freddy's, then to bed. But I'm changed. My eyes are closed and still looking. What's that? In the corner, on the right. Got it. Wilson's phalarope, preening.